In the beginning, it was you who spoke over the water and brought forth creation. And then it was you who asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" It was you who spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. And it was you through angels who spoke to Mary and Joseph and shepherds. You have always been speaking in words and memories and song and in dream. So today, as we prepare to hear your word again, we ask that you would speak to us once again as only you can, so that we might speak this same good news to others. We are listening. We are grateful. Amen. Today, just 2 days after Christmas, we've read words from Isaiah and words from the Gospel of Luke that tell of Simeon and Anna. And in each of these texts, we read of people in God's story who could not keep silent. They could not keep silent because the dream of God is not something we are to keep for ourselves. God's dreams are not for us alone. Simeon and Anna could not keep silent. They witnessed Jesus' divine presence in the temple and were compelled to speak up. They couldn't keep silent. Jesus had been brought to the temple as was required by Mosaic law to be presented to the Lord. And Simeon, a righteous and devout man filled with the Holy Spirit, takes this child in his hands and praises God. He exclaims, "Master, now you're dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Anna, the prophet, an elder of her tribe, who lived in the temple, worshipping, fasting, and praying, proclaims Jesus as the redemption of Jerusalem. Both Simeon and Anna have been waiting a long time, watching out to see God at work, looking for the Messiah to usher in the kingdom of God so that they could proclaim this news of salvation to others. They've been steadfast in their belief in God's promise. For them, it has been as if they were in the REM stage of the sleep cycle, that stage traditionally described as the dream stage. In the dream stage, irrelevant information is removed and our capacity to retain what is important is heightened. When we're steadfast in our beliefs, we deepen our faith. Deep faith is not learned as doctrine, but through spiritual disciplines and practices such as prayer and fasting. For Simeon and Anna, as their faith deepened, they knew what to look for. And the need to tell others about it welled up in them, and they couldn't keep silent. So too with the prophet Isaiah. His delight in God was not something he could keep for himself. The way God had clothed him in salvation and righteousness, the way God had caused such growth in his life like a whole garden, he couldn't keep silent, could not remain quiet. Until everyone has seen as clear as the dawn, until everyone has known God's glory. Isaiah's poem is a song for today. It is one of thanksgiving for all God has done, and it echoes through time as it witnesses to the heart of who God is. Isaiah says, "I will rejoice." And the song of rejoicing recalls God's heart. The child born in the stable, the one who would be the Christ, is here echoed in the praise of Isaiah. Isaiah uses two significant metaphors in this praise, those of marriage and gardening. The marriage metaphor is calling us to recognize the immense care and love of God, the tenderness God has toward creation. It's a committed love worth celebrating. And the gardening metaphor, in our summer season where growth is lush and we can see its beauty, the image of growth, of life sprouting forth as the garden is tended for carefully. Whether marriage or garden, Isaiah saw a nurturing God of love. And Isaiah had to share it with the world. He could not keep silent. And Isaiah is clear that it is for the sake of the wider community that he will not remain silent. Relational connections compelled Isaiah to speak up and work for change. So what about us? What about you? Like the prophet Isaiah, we must not keep silent. We must not rest until what has been sown will spring up as righteousness and peace in every nation. And like Simeon and Anna, we too must look for where God is doing something new. Something new and yet not really new. Something as old as time that joins to memory and keeping an old promise new. We too must look for where hope joins memory and where old promises are being made new. No matter how hard things might be, God will be at work. A work that comes from the dream of God's kingdom being built. God's dreams persist despite of opposition or rejection, injustice or death. We just have to keep watch. And when we see where God is at work, we're to share it and not keep silent. We're to choose not to remain silent. Now I get it, it can sometimes be difficult to speak God's dream, to put into words where we see God at work building the kingdom. But this morning I want us to have a go. I invite you all to now take a moment to reflect on just the past few days and ask yourself, where have you seen God? It's not a trick question, and it doesn't assume you've had any remarkable once-in-a-lifetime experiences. It's simply asking you to look at your life with eyes of faith. Where have you seen God? It may have been in the beauty of nature, or in the gift someone gave you, perhaps in an act of random kindness offered to a complete stranger, or someone offering help or care. It's the challenge to recognize God at work in your life. But it's more than that. It's a challenge to not only recognize it, but then to speak it out, to not remain silent. Seeing God in your midst is one thing. Speaking it out loud for others to hear, that is different. The world needs this good news. We're not called to be silent. So we're going to take some time in the silence to reflect on our last few days. And then after a time, I'll invite you to share with somebody near you the way you have seen God at work in your life. Take some time.